We are back with the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast today, talking about mentoring youth in basketball.
And here to help us dive in is Junior NBA Coach of the Year, Coach Christina Wellingham.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast. That's Monica McNutt. I'm Dallin Cuff. Really fun conversation. We're talking about mentoring youth in basketball. And we have the Junior NBA Coach of the Year, Christina Wellendorf, will be joining us. She coaches Middle School, out in Las Vegas. And Mon, she was outstanding. I'm not surprised why she won. Now I know exactly why she won the award.
It's absolutely undeniable. Listen, as you guys listen to this conversation, her natural zest and energy level probably exceed the average. Like, I feel challenged, and I'm a high energy person, but I felt challenged listening to Coach Wellendorf. But listen to what she says. I think her concepts of respect, acknowledging the entire being of these young people, and not just with young people. Yes, we're talking about coaching middle school age kids, but in general, just when we interact with one another, like, she dropped some gems that I think really are small shifts, but if you're mindful, they make a big difference.
Yeah, I always look back at my perspective, my upbringing, my experiences playing, and my coaches as I go through life. Every time we have these conversations, that's been one of the great things of doing this podcast, is it makes me like a little reflective. And this just maybe is just a more, this just didn't exist, I feel like, in the same regard, or as prevalent. It wasn't as talked about, or wasn't as, you know, celebrated to coach the whole person and to respect the players and vice versa. I just didn't always feel that, you know? And I think that would, I hope that the young men and women that have coaches like Coach Wellendorf really understand and appreciate that.
I can remember, there's a couple moments when I reflect back, Dallin, of similar conversations. One was with my mom, very candidly, about raising my sister and I, and how, yes, we had the same parents, but we needed different things. And so I can remember being in college and being tasked with being a captain and thinking about that, like, yes, I got this whole team, but they need different things. But you are 100% right that it was not the mainstream conversation, because I think when we were coming up, the idea was fair. Like, everybody has this opportunity. Yeah. The playing field is so-called leveled for this team, when in reality, even on your team, it's no such thing as a level playing field, sincerely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, let's get to it. Great conversation with Christina. Not from us. Let's hear from her. And Coach joins us now. Thank you so much for your time. We know you're busy. You're in between class right now. You've already been in class for almost a month, which is wild. Vegas starts early in August. But just want to kind of get right into it and kind of take us into how did you hear about you won this award and this kind of honor, and kind of take us through the process. Like, how did you get to this point and be recognized in this deserved way?
Well, first of all, I appreciate everything, and I appreciate being on the show. And I just want to first give a shout out to the semifinalists and the finalists. Everybody's deserving. And I even tried to actually split the award, but we'll talk about that in a second. I thought it would have been great for all three cities to have it, because I knew it was going to open doors and it would help more people. Anyway, how did this happen? Oh man, I'm going to, you know, if I start talking too long, please just cut me off, because as a teacher, you know, we like to talk a little bit. And as a coach.
Coach, it's a podcast. Coach, you go as long as you want.
We all have right. plenty of time. Give us all the details.
Right, we can also cut me out. I figured that too. So in February of last year, I get a phone call during class, and it's my sister. And she tells me my dad has 2 days to live. Now, my dad was bowling 2 days before. So I come back in, I share that with the class, go down to see him the weekend. And sure enough, he's in hospice. So he only has a few months to live. I got to spend a lot of time with him in that 2 months. And now we move forward to April. So April 14th, he passed. I was down there for spring break. And so I came back and I got an email from Carly Sisolak. Carly, I've known for about 5 years, and she now works for the Aces. And she's like, Christina, you don't ever get recognized. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's going on? She's like, well, we can nominate a community coach, and I want to nominate you. And I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. And so she sends me all these questions, and I swear it was like 5 pages long. It seemed like, what do you do? This, and this. So I fill it out, and it took a couple hours. And afterward, I was like, wow, like for the first time for myself, I was like, I did all that, like just in that last 2 years, that's crazy. So I sent it, but I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think literally anything of it. Here you go, Carly, here's some pictures, etc. So then I get a couple emails asking for a different photo or headshot, and I do that. So now fast forward, I'm visiting my dad's gravesite in June, and an email pops up, and it says, I'm a semifinalist. And I'm like, this is like spam, can't be real. Like, So I text Carly and she's like, yeah, I knew, but I couldn't tell you. I'm like, oh my God, you are killing me. So I start reading it and then I'm like, nope, I got to go visit my dad. So I did, went to the grave, got in the car, came home and I start reading it. And it's like 25% interview, 25% voting, 50% panel. And I'm like, voting? I don't do social media. Like my social media are my nature pictures, which people don't even believe that I'm even in, right? Because when I go to the beach in Huntington, I'm just like, so I'll drive up and down by myself and whatever. So I'm like, where? Okay. So Wednesday, I get an email, say Friday, saying Wednesday is going to be my interview. But I knew the voting started on Monday, but I didn't get any email about the voting. So I was like, maybe it's not. And I didn't go like I should have, checked the website. So Wednesday comes and Wednesday morning, it's like, this is the stuff you need for voting. It started 2 days ago. I'm like, oh my, what do you mean 2 days ago? So I don't know how to do anything with Instagram. So I spent 2 hours creating a story, adding like little things, little flashing things go on. And then I have my interview, which I had to fix my face. And I was like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. It's meant to be, it'll be. So I get on the interview, do that. And then I just start sending it out like to my family, and I have family in India and Canada. And they're like, we got this. And I'm like, do you? Cause I don't. And so I started sharing and sharing. And then my nephew sends a video on how to vote. So it was like, return. So I am dying through the process. It's just way too much attention. No, I can tell you, just way too much. And so I do that. And then I go to New York to visit my sister, who I haven't seen in 8 years. But during the funeral, she's like, come on, you got to come, because dad would have came. And I was like, oh, stop, because I don't know how to say no. So I go to Buffalo, New York. What's in Buffalo? I tell her, right? So we go to Niagara Falls. I visit Canada. I was born in Canada, so I got to use my card. Okay. So now that night, an email pops up. And it says, we want to thank you. You know how they do, right? We want to thank you. And you're looking down for a name. And my nephew is like, what? And I'm like, and I'm stunned. I'm just stunned. Like the voting, I thought maybe the voting would help, but I looked at everybody. Everyone's done such a great job, right? So I tell my sister from Buffalo, I tell her what happened. She's like, well, you didn't win. You don't understand. You don't understand. I got money for my team. I got $2,500. I don't care if I won. I made it to the top three. And I'm just excited. I'm like, get out of the room. Just go. Me and your grandson we're gonna enjoy this. So now about a week passes, everybody on so I share it with social when I could. And they're like, Can we vote again? And I'm like, I don't know. They haven't told me anything. And it's like 7 days have passed. So I know nothing about nothing. So I come home and, you know, the airport's been crazy. You guys travel all the time for a living. Airports are crazy. I think I went to 4 cities that day. So I finally get home around midnight, driving home, email pops up. Is it Faithon? Is that his name? Faithon from the NBA? So the email pops up and says, and I'm talking to my sister in California. And she says, or it says, it's such a close race. We got to do another interview. And I say, no, I just, seriously. I say, Kathy, why can't we just do rock, paper, scissors? Why can't we just two out of three? And whoever wins. She's like, you can't give up. I said, I'm not giving up, but I'm trying to get ready for school. And so they're like, we'd like the aces to come to your school if they can, et cetera, et cetera. So I plan it. I get it. The principal says, okay. I think about what else I can answer. I'm like, all right, social justice stuff. Okay, I'm going to be doing the yearbook. They gave me that along with counseling, along with coaching, and we're going to do that. So I had all my papers. Here I am sitting in front of Jennifer Azy with my little papers. I'm like, okay, I'm going to use my notes. So she goes, okay. And then I said, Miss Azy, though, can I ask you something? Why can't the three of us just win? Why can't it be, well, you know, if there's a trophy, we'll send it to each other. We'll split the other $2,500. She goes, that's nice. But no, there can only be one. And I'm like, so then they clear it out. She's like, all right, let me see what the question is. And then she shows me the video of the ladies saying, congratulations, Coach Christina. And then I don't hear anything else. It cuts off. So I go, oh, that's nice that they did that video for me to be a finalist. That's cool. She goes, Christina, she grabs my arm. You're the coach of the year. And that's the video that kind of went out. And I kept saying no. See, I've got my papers and you're going to ask me a question because that's what they said was going to happen. And I said, you lied just so good. I don't even understand how you did that so well. And she just cracked up. She's like, we need to do this more often. She says to Carly, I looked at Carly, she's over there. I'm like, really, really, Carly? She goes, I kept ignoring you because I couldn't lie to you. I'm like, okay. So that part is cool. And I kind of keep reliving just that moment in the classroom with Miss AZ and just, you know, just stunned and just grateful and humble and wow. And is this real? And my dad's up there pulling strings with God and all of the above. And he was my biggest supporter every year, no matter what. I'm going to start crying. I'm not going to cry. But I used to share what I was doing. I was like, Dad, he'd give me $1,000 here to put this toward the team, buy them food, buy them this, buy them that. And I know he was worried that I would have enough money when he left. And he told me that. And so by winning this, you know, the $5,000 will last me for 5 years.
Oh, gosh, Christina. That's incredible. Like, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Appreciate your zest for life, for coaching, for your kids. Like, it's so evident. So I want to rewind even a little bit further than you winning this award. Why did you start coaching and teaching? And what have you found to be the most rewarding part of what it is that you do?
So becoming a counselor right now, I'm in my master's halfway through. I've had to reflect on my childhood a lot in my papers. Trauma, let's say. So let me start back when I was a kid. Sports was everything. That's the only thing I was really good at. I was outside from 8 a.m. till midnight every day, playing whatever. Whoever had a ball, we had a rock, then we played with that. And so that was in the 70s, and it was wonderful. We moved to Las Vegas when I was about 8 or 9. I was the youngest of 5. My dad and mom kind of forgot about me. They were out all night gambling, doing whatever. And so we went from the Air Force, having the money in the Air Force, to basically being poor. And everyone else was gone out of the house except me. And it was a struggle. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't understand why we moved here. I didn't understand any of it. You know, I was trying to be a grown-up at 9 years old. So sports saved my life. I was just outside all the time and with neighbors, the villagers, right? My neighbors helped raise me. So I had to look back and all that. And then as soon as I tried out for basketball in 8th grade, that was my next set of villagers. You know, and my high school coaches, teachers, nobody knew how poor we were, never said a word, because you didn't talk about weaknesses. You didn't do that. And a lot of that was growing up in the church. And so moving forward, I mean, as a kid, I was always a coach. I mean, I'd stop the bullies in the neighborhood. You know, I would always teach the kids who didn't know how to do it or couldn't pick it up. They were always on my team, and I would make sure they scored, and I would box everybody out to make sure they got the shot. So I was always that coach and teacher. I remember in high school, I told my coach, I said, you know, I want to be a teacher. She's like, they don't make any money. Don't do it. So I didn't. So I went and played college ball 1 year at a JUCO, came back, got a job at a newspaper. And there are two owners, Danny Greenspun and Brian Greenspun. And they had a newspaper and I was there. And I kept trying to get a better job. And I remember wanting to go on the back because they made a lot more money than me driving the truck and delivering tear sheets. And they said, you don't have any qualifications. So I stayed the next 6 months. I stayed after my job and I watched them. And I watched and I asked questions. And the next time the job opened up, I had the qualifications. So that's how my journey started there. When the computers came in the 90s, I said, I can do it. I can do Windows. I don't even know what it is, but I'll do it. And they're like, but you don't know how. I said, well, either do you. I said, so let me try. So here I am in my 30s doing that. I became the senior director of IT and had 40 guys under me. I knew how to do Unix and coding and websites and just all of that. And then my mom got stricken with Alzheimer's. So to me, my mid-years, I learned how to do business. I learned how to make money. I learned how to, and I still taught, right? I was teaching the computer stuff. I was always teaching the technology or teaching something and advocating for people at the, if I could have been the counselor at Greenspun, I probably was. But my mom got Alzheimer's when I was 35. And I spent the next 5 years at a care center taking care of her and also adopting 5 other older people. And so I would go every day feeding all of them. And it really kind of sucked life out of me, you know, but I think it was my purpose at the time to be the advocates for them. But it did, it kind of sucked the life out of me. And I remember when I left Greenspun, in 2009, I was at UNLV. And like I said, the owners put me through school for the first couple of years. So I was taking business classes and someone looked at me and said, are you a coach? Are you a teacher? Because I was dressed my visor on. And I was like, I went the next day and changed my degree to education. And I realized I need to work with kids that haven't lived yet. And I can tell my story to them. They can see me as a white lady because I teach Hispanic and African-American kids. And I tell them on the first day my story. And I tell them, I said, eighth grade, I knew I had everything in me to be better than anyone in my family. And I was going to do it by myself, along with my sports. And I said, so when they asked me what I wanted to teach, I said, life. She said, you won't get a job. I said, well, what are my choices? She said, math and English. I said, okay, well, I know how to write. I've been in a newspaper 20 years, so I'm sure I can write. All right, I'll do English. She goes, PE? I said, oh, no, 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 no. I can't handle the girls with the nails. And oh, I can't dress out and all that. That would make me crazy. So I'm like, no. And I have a desk for learning. And so to me, PE would have been, that's what I do for fun, right? So I was like, no, no, English. And so I did that. And I remember my student teaching here at Fremont. We're right, like I was telling the other lady, I said, we're right in the hood. We're right down the street from the Stratosphere. So it was just wonderful. It was like kids that remind me of me. And so my student teaching first day, my mentor teacher looked at me and he goes, you just have a way. Like, you are kind to them and you will switch in a minute like grandma and say, no, knock it up. And I was like, do I? He goes, but you do it respectfully. I said, I do. And he's like, yeah. And I never wanted to leave the school after that. But I guess, like I said, I knew I was teaching and coaching when I was young. I had those middle years to kind of figure myself out. And but always been empathetic and compassionate and a helper and never looking for anything in return. I think that's my mom and what she taught.
Wow. Teaching is one of the hardest jobs, and it is a very much a thankless job.
Absolutely.
By so many in our society. And your guys' job is so important. As you, it seemed like it came somewhat naturally to you, but as you were going through this early on, how were you learning some, whether techniques or what was coming out? What were you taking away to learn to connect with these young people and learn to really develop these relationships with them?
You know, I guess I always knew that it was about relationships, because even in sports, it's about relationships. Mm-hmm. So growing up, so I had that part. And listen, if I would have done teaching at 20, I don't know. You know, I'm going to be honest. I really don't know if I had the patience. Mm-hmm. But by the time I was 40 and got, you know, went through the Alzheimer's and the care centers and the death and the, you know, just having to keep rising and our company going here, here and here and then losing everything. So I went through so much that it was only relationships. I mean, that's all I knew, if that makes any sense. I always mm-hmm. joke and say, I love kids, adults, not so much. That's just because of my experience in corporate, you know, it was tough, but in your 30s, you think you're supposed to make all that money, right? That's what you got. You guys are probably in your 30s. You know, you got to go, go, go. By the time you get to 40, you're like, what the heck, what am I doing? By the time you're 50, like me, 56, I'm just chilling. Like life is just beautiful. So it's relationships. I spend the first 3 weeks, no English, none. The first day it's about, here's my respect. They never hear a teacher tell them that. Not on the first day, maybe not even on the 15th day. But I say it to my players, because I saw one of the questions was, my philosophy doesn't change in the classroom or on the court. It's respect self and respect others. Everything falls underneath that. Because if you can respect yourself, you'll show up. You'll show mm-hmm. up and give 100% every single day. If you respect others, you'll be the best teammate ever. And the same goes in the classroom for me. I just told them, I said, listen, I show up every day, 100%. Like, you will know I'm with you. And you talk to me, I will look into your soul, but don't get scared. And they laugh.
I love that, Coach Christina, because you're right. Respect self, respect others. And so often the way that we interact with other people is a reflection of how we deal with ourselves. So I just love that. That hits home in so many ways for me. But I do wonder, what has been the most challenging piece, player, experience in this very sincere approach that you have? Because while I get it, and I would be great with you, you'd be my awesome as a coach. And then, you know, sometimes kids have a way of pushing and seeing how mm-hmm. sincere is this. So I'm wondering, what ways have you been stretched and really challenged in your philosophy and your approach?
Well, for me as a teacher, I'll go with the teacher first, or even as a coach. I don't know, maybe all athletes are perfectionists or type A personalities, you know, the ones that want to win and all that. But for me, it was making mistakes, right? I wanted to be flawless from the jump. And it was like, no. So every class and every child is different. You teach every child different than you teach. You don't teach everyone the same. As far as players, I have a lot of struggles that come through Fremont. And a lot of it is because they live in the weekly. So I might have the best player who really wants to play and he has anger issues over the top, or he won't be here in January when we start the season. And so I've become more, honestly, especially with COVID, more SEL, more counseling, more deep breaths, box breathing. Okay, calm down. Here's a journal. Let's, you know, all of that kind of stuff. There is one young man that it just broke my heart. I tell this story because I had him when I was first came to Fremont as an assistant. He wanted me to adopt him. And I was like, honey, I'm never home though. But he took it further. We're on the bus ride to the game and he had them call me. Hi, Juwan says you're going to adopt him. I'm like, Juwan, get up here. So the woman's like, well, you can be like a surrogate and pick him up, you know, and he could come stay at your house every now and then. I said, okay, I'll do that. So he did that for a few years. And then we lost touch in COVID. And he was living in a foster home and it had the same foster home. Fast forward, he was about 2 months ago, the same time I got the email about this award, he sends me a flyer and he's going to a university in California called Southern Christian University, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up and it's the same guy who recruited me. I said, what? No. Yeah. So I call up my old coach and sure enough, he saw Juwan and he recruited him. But now moving forward, Juwan reaches out and he doesn't have money. And so I'm going to help him. Right. And I want to help him and I want to help him. And then I find out that there was a lady in California that was going to help him. And he constantly was lying to her over the last month. And then I gave him $1,000. I was like, okay, I need you to take that down to, and now he won't even return my calls. Mm-hmm. So that breaks my heart. But I also know he'll be okay. And I just got to let go because I am that person that want to, you know, I want to fix and I can't, that he's gone through so many struggles and he's got to work through them. Mm-hmm. He's got to work through them. Even in the lies he was telling didn't even benefit him. He just is programmed that way. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of kids like that, right? I'll have them. And then after the season, you know, I think I made an impression and then I don't see him again. Mm-hmm. But I also have the other ones that are with me all the time and come back and mentor the next team. So I do just try to see the positive in everything, you know, and everyone says, you know, you change one child, that's huge. And of course, when you change one, you want to change hundreds. So you just do your best, you know, you just do your best daily. You just show up every day and do your best daily.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. In terms of like, why this age group though? I mean, it's mostly middle school. Why in this age group, or has this been where you wanted to be, or is where how it worked out and you liked it? Like, just take me through, because obviously different life stages, they have different challenges and whatnot.
Right. And I think for me, I knew exactly when she asked me what grade I wanted to teach, I said eighth grade, because that's when I shifted. That's when I figured I did have everything in me to be whatever I wanted to be. And I love Barack Obama's quote, where you are right now does not determine where you're going to end up. That's huge. Somebody must have said that to me back then. So I told him eighth grade for sure. Eighth grade. And then as far as the way I started coaching was, I was going to the girls. There was two girl coaches, didn't really have any experience basketball wise, but they loved their friends. And they said, no, you know, we don't need anybody. I said, okay. So then the boys, they had two coaches and they knew I played at least 1 year of college. They're like, no, you could help us on defense. You could help us. Right, that's what started it. The next year, they both left. Here's your team. I was like, oh my God, they're not very good. What do you guys tell me you were leaving? I didn't have a chance to recruit anybody. I was like, oh, it's all good. And then, yeah. And so I've had offers to go to high schools. And now that like a lot of our teachers and people have left and become principals, you know, they want me to go with them. And I just love this neighborhood and I love middle school. And so if you can get a school, I tell my best friend who's going to be a principal, if you can replicate that, then you can come talk to me. But outside of that, no, it's middle school. I enjoy teaching the basics. I enjoy teaching 1-2 layup. Nope, we're not dribbling yet because you don't know how to dribble yet. It's okay though, handsome. And I'm like 1-2, you know, left arm, right arm, dribble, nope, head up and, you know, left hand. And so I love that part of it. So I can teach them the love of the game because they don't have the outside stuff that we had as kids. Mm-hmm. No, they have so much to do with the video and video games and all that stuff too. So.
Well, Coach, I mean, you keep saying how much you love the school, you love that community. We know you show up at food banks, you're stuffing backpacks. I mean, you're doing Thanksgiving baskets. Are those requirements for your athletes, or do they see you and they just get on board? Like, how does that translate in the relationships that you're continuing to build with them?
So it's kind of both. The first thing, before we even started doing backpacks, we would make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and bottles of water, and we would walk over to the church and feed whoever was outside. And that's great, because I used to make the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for them for the games. So I was like, nope, it's your turn. Now you're going to pay it forward. The other thing the boys do is, like I said, they all come back. Not all of them come back, but there's 2 or 3 from each team that I become real close with, and we really connect, and they'll come back and be mentors, big brothers to these boys. They will stand up. Even the boy I was just telling you about, he stood up in front of the boys last year and told them his story about foster care. You know, that kind of stuff. So that was huge. Now that I've gotten a few groups who've graduated high school that drive, they are now signed up to do 3 Square Food Bank. And now they'll go with me for that. And it is like you get if you give, you know. And to me, I don't know, a lot of things have changed really in the last 10 years. But to me, we're here to serve every single day. You know, if we just do that, and they see it from me, but they also want them part of it. So like this year, once we get our school, I hope our school is ready. I pray. We're in portables right now. So last year was challenging because we'd walk across the street with a little stop sign and a lot of homeless and a lot of fights, and we'd get the boys would get there. And I think maybe that's why I won the award too. I was like, then I got them in a tournament so we could actually play a real game. So the whole community came up there to watch these 5 games, and that was their little season. And I called them the BYB Knights because we couldn't use Lancers. And that was for the Backyard Boys. I said, that's what we are. We are the Backyard Boys. But, you know, I just continued to do that. So like the Thanksgiving baskets that we're going to do this year, I have one of my oldest boys. He's on the picture there. He works here at Fremont now. So I got him a job at Fremont. He's getting ready to start college. This is a young man that when I met him, he was sleeping on a cot and he was about 6 feet and his feet were hanging off to the floor. And they had about 8 in the apartment. And here he is. And he's just my pride and joy. He's my assistant coach. His name is Johnny Foster. And just an amazing young man. And so he's going to do the baskets with me this year. He said he'll deliver them with me. You know, so I'm excited. I think they see it, and I think it's part of it. Does that make sense? If that makes sense.
It does.
It does. You mentioned in your answer there a lot has changed in the last 10 years. Obviously, everybody went through the pandemic. It affects people in different ways. But society has changed a lot. I mean, what have you seen in terms of that change societally and also out of the pandemic that's maybe affected your role or has changed kids and how you have to approach things? Like, how has that evolved?
It really does feel like we've stripped away just the kindness, you know, just respecting and just being kind to one another. And I sat last year in my classroom. We were having 6th graders tear the things off walls, put stuff on walls. It was out of control. And I remember looking at my 8th graders and saying, what is going on? What is, like, help me understand. And they looked at me and they said, Miss, a year and a half, we were raised by TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. And I paused. And I was like, well, nobody was home? And they said, no. You mean forever, like at night? Nope. And I was like, so we got to do something. I said, we have to do something. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, you guys? Because no one's coming in that door, all right? Administration's not coming in. This is about us. What are we going to do? And so I said, Lancer Code, where the Lancers stands for loyal, accountable, noble, courageous, empathetic, et cetera. And I said, we're going to create an alliance. It's going to be called the Kindness Alliance. It'll be called the LCA. And we'll pick 10 kids from each grade level. We'll create 100 kids, maybe 8 teachers, and we will form this. And that will be us. And so we did. And I swear things changed quickly. So I guess to answer your question is, it is a lot more social emotional kindness talk, not just basketball talk, not mm-hmm. just, you know, it's almost having to reacclimate basketball, the children themselves with each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel we did last year, and night and day, so much better this year, so much better. Not one fight. We were constantly having fights across the street at the park. It was so out of control. It was ridiculous. Mm.
Real quick, I don't know how to pose this in the way, I guess. Do you care if you win? I know you're competitive, but does it really matter if you win games versus
I hate it. But I'm also a realist. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hate losing. Like, we're 13-1 this year, and we shouldn't have lost that game. And I still got a problem with that game. I still got a problem with it. It was like watching last night the Aces, my team.
Ooh.
I don't want to get into it. I'm not a sports analyst. But oh my God. Like, you don't get layups. You don't get 4 fast break layups. Come
bro,
on. I just
come on, coach.
I mean, I won't say I curse, but I will be very mad if I call that timeout. You know, and I get that mad. I'm just like, no. So I'm the realist. Here's an example. I've got no eighth graders. I got one eighth grader who can kind of play a little bit, but the rest of them are little baby sixth graders. We don't even have a gym. I'm putting up two baskets. Me and my roommate were here 4 hours yesterday, just putting the baskets together. So we're going to have a little slab. That's going to be our get ready for the season. But we've got moved up to D1 because we won 2 years in a row. And so I'm a realist. So if I think we win two games, I'm thrilled. I want them to be better. I want them to be good men first.
Yeah.
Coach, you keep bringing up your facilities, and now I need to have a full grasp of what's going on. You mm-hmm. guys are currently in portables because yeah. a actual school building is being built. So your practice facilities, air quotes around facilities, are what?
Are the baskets that are going up right now.
Like in a parking lot or where?
No, yeah. Well, in our, kind of, because these portables are in a parking lot, guys. So basically it's metal and it's blacktop. But there is this slab of white cement, and they're like, where do you want to put the baskets? I said, right there. I said, I'm going to get painter's tape and I'm going to design the lines and we're going to be set. And that's fine. Because when I went across the street last year, I only used two baskets and I had to like maneuver, you know, from crazy people and fights. And I'm just like, we don't need to go across the street. We're going to do it right there.
How long have these been the kind of positions you've okay.
since last year? Yeah. So it's been about a year and a half now. Since
what's the ETA on your school building?
Man, our first game is January 6th. I was like, oof. I am asking and working with Tarkanian Basketball Academy, who's a good friend of mine when we used to do the Junior NBA League there. And I'm hoping I can get Fridays 2 hours inside the gym. If not, I've mm-hmm. asked the school across the street if we can get at least one day where we can be inside. And then the little folks, see, now we're hit flag football, though. You love this story, Monica. I know you were so, usually I would be like, nope, the basketball boys are mine. Like, they're mine. But it's not like that anymore. It's not. And now they added flag football. And I'm like, Chris, if you were them, which you need to put yourself in their shoes, would you want to play football? And I'm like, uh-huh, yes, I would. Because I loved playing football. And so that's, I'm not going to do that. So I'm like, boys, play everything you can. And so when I get them, I'll work with them, but hopefully one day a week. So I'm hoping that starting right after Labor Day, we can be in a gym on Friday.
So I hope so too. Goodness. Yeah.
With the other coaches at your school, do you think do they share a similar approach to you? Like, how do you share some of the stuff you try to do with other coaches, even at your school?
Yeah. I mean, like the flag football coach is our computer tech guy, and he's never played a sport in his life, bless his heart. And he comes to me and he's like, and I said, no, I'll show you everything. Like, I think there's enough for the world. You know, I never, ever hold back. You want to learn? I'm going to teach you whatever I've learned. Cause I got to learn from some great coaches when we had a junior NBA league with the summer league. And so my blessings have to be, you know, pay it forward kind of thing. But I do have that approach, and I tell them, like, you know, but the flag football coach, I guess he said some words to the kids and weren't good. And I was like, no, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be upset, but it's never directed at a child ever. Like, you just don't do that. You know, there's no need for that.
What else are you telling me, like, in terms, if you had to provide some advice or thoughts to people? I mean, obviously a lot of people listening to this are just coaches that are just want to become coaches or are just started doing it. Everybody's trying to learn everything we're doing. What would be some of those? You've dropped a bunch of different thoughts and gems, if you will, as Monica likes to say sometimes through the course of this pod. But like, if there were a couple key things that you'd want to impart on people as they're coming in as profession, what would that be?
Teach the whole child, coach the whole child.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. I know this is the first time I'm going to cut you off, Coach. I'm taking advantage of your suggestion. I hear that. I believe that.
What does
I receive
that look like?
Well, not only what does it look like, but every educator is not you. Is every educator equipped to do that?
Even if they're not equipped, even if they're not 40 coming into the profession, it's something they can learn over time.
Okay.
Everybody can. You got to be willing, though. Great example. We have some new teachers here this year. I don't even think they're licensed yet. They're student teachers. And I went into a classroom because the kids were disrespecting this person. And I just laid into the kids. I said, we don't do that. This person is doing the best they can. At the same time, it's a new teacher and they don't know how to connect with the kids, right? Sometimes it's just, what's the music? What's the latest movie? What's the latest this? What's the latest that? Just to start the dialogue. And so I've been asked a couple of times, you know, do you want to go teach teachers? And it's back to the adults versus the kids. I love the kids. I wish I could bottle it. I would write it down. Or even coach coaches. I don't know. I'm really happy just coaching kids. And I could write it down. I would write it down. I used to write technology documents all the time at Greenspun. It's just really connecting with them. Put yourself in that child's body.
Definitely.
You know, whether you had your silver spoon or whether you had my situation, you want to be heard, you want to be seen, you want to have a voice, and you want someone to care about you. There's one thing these kids will always tell you at the end of the year or even now, I care about them, and they know that. And I don't know, I did a podcast with her name is Ball and D or something. I don't even know. She has a podcast here in Las Vegas, but she mentioned, she goes, with certain people, I don't have any biological children. And she said, sometimes it's those people that you can say God's intervention or whatever, divine intervention, is that we now have everybody as our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to go home, right, and take care of the kids because mm-hmm. there's no kids there, but every child we can take care of. So I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just really, if they know you care, they will go to the ends of the world for you. A lot of what John Wooden, he's a guy I looked at with philosophies, really faith, family, right? Team. And just, yeah. And don't come to practice with your shoes untied. Don't do it. Because if your shoe comes untied, I throw it up on the rafters.
This is excellent stuff.
It really is, Coach. I mean, we could do this for probably another hour and change, but I know we got respectful of your time. Manya, anything else you wanna get to?
No, Coach, congratulations on all that mm-hmm. you've accomplished so far. And congratulations on everything that's ahead. I don't know if it's the fact that you don't have biological kids or it is your upbringing, but there's no question about your heart for these young people. And we need more of that. And so it's been a pleasure to chat with you.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Great rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.